Hi everybody, the Complex PTSD guy here. I'll start out by saying I'm not a doctor or psychiatrist. I'm just a guy living with complex PTSD, and I'm sharing my own ideas, experiences, and opinions on this podcast. I wanted to talk about something that I want to point out I'm not a specialist in this particular topic, and this is regarding alcoholism and substance abuse, but I'm going to talk about it from my own experience with substance abuse. So again, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a counselor. I'm just going to share my own experience and something so far that has worked for me in regards to when I would isolate, I would binge drink. And I've talked about that on here before. So I'm going to share something that has worked for me. I had a session recently, a counseling session, and I've told you guys I talked to a counselor about complex PTSD and all types of things, trauma, how substance abuse played a role in that whole world of all of that in regards to isolating. But I wanted to point out a few things that I think can be that maybe can seem like they could work, but I think they can be a little bit deceiving. And maybe they do work for some people, and that's great. But I'm going to share how I've tried other methods that did not work and why they did not work. And I think a big part of this, again, I know I've talked about this a lot lately. I think a big part of this was my own low self-esteem. So in regards to complex PTSD, I've told you guys that, one, I don't think any counselor is ever going to say to you, because no counselor has ever said this to me, and I just don't think that this is something that they would say, and I actually brought this up yesterday to my counselor. I don't think any counselor is ever going to say to us, you know what, you're struggling with low self-esteem. They're not going to say that. Because one, I don't think it's what they even would qualify as a symptom. I don't think it's what would qualify ever as a disorder. I have the disorder of low self-esteem. Like, nope, you know, that's not a thing. So it's not something that they bring up, right? They'll probably say something like, they'll try to help with depression, or they'll try to help with this, that, or the other. And they'll focus on positive things you can do to get momentum in your life, so to speak. But they're never going to say, you're really struggling with low self-esteem. And the reason I bring it up is because I think that that is a big part of what I've struggled with for over 20 years, off and on, depending on the environment I've been in. And it's a big deal. It's a really big deal, because if you don't know what your problem is, you can't solve it. And so in regards to how this impacts my own experience with drinking, again, I'm just going to share my own experience here. I think that there have been ways that I have tried to solve drinking in the past that were false. They were empty, because they were coming from a place of low self-esteem. And again, I didn't know that. I didn't know that the solution was confidence building, real confidence building. And I talked about some of this also with my counselor, but I'm going to read the symptoms of complex PTSD. And as I read these, I just want you guys to think how these could relate to low self-esteem. You know, when you hear the words I'm about to say, the symptoms I'm about to read, think to yourself, does this also look like low self-esteem? And some of the, I only think about half of these are, by the way, and I'm reading this off Wikipedia. If you look up complex post-traumatic stress disorder on Wikipedia, it's got the history of when it first became a thing, when it first was that term was first used. It talks about the symptoms in children and adolescents versus adults. It gives the symptoms. And so I'm just going to read the symptoms here. Hyperarousal, emotional overstress, intrusive thoughts, emotional dysregulations, hypervigilance, negative self-beliefs, interpersonal difficulties, and also often attention difficulties, anxiety, depression, somatization, dissociation. So those are the symptoms. And again, I think about half of these really connect quite well to low self-esteem. Or if you happen to have complex PTSD and you don't have low self-esteem, then this might not be an issue for you. But I do think that a lot of times if you're coming from abuse and trauma and someone has been gaslighting you maybe your whole life, or getting you to second guess yourself, always getting you to question your intelligence, it's who you are. If you don't know who you are, if you're lost, if you feel lost constantly, all of that I think relates quite well to low self-esteem. And I think it's a good thing to know what it is, because if you know what it is, you can solve it, right? You can do something about it. So again, going back to drinking, so substance use abuse, and for me it was beer. I would drink beer, and I would just binge drink to escape. But whenever I tried to solve the problem, and again, I didn't know that a lot of times it was coming from a place of low self-esteem. So one example of what I tried to do was use religion. And I'm not bashing religion. I'm just saying I used religion from my own perspective in an incorrect way. I tried to use it. I basically joined a religion that was anti-alcohol. And that's not the only reason I joined the religion, by the way. And I've been interested in all types of different religions over the years. And right now I'm not interested really in any of them. But I grew up around certain faiths, and when I was younger, I just had certain interests in certain things. And so one of them was, don't drink because this religion says not to. And that's not really anything coming from a place of confidence. That's just coming from following rules, right? And so let's say that's almost a setup for failure, because if you eventually fall out of favor with that religion, you're not going to be abiding by those rules anymore. And I think it's quite easy to fall out of favor with a religion, because maybe you find out your pastor's a hypocrite, or maybe you feel like a hypocrite. There's a million reasons. So using something else as like a means to an end almost, or using something else as your reason to stop doing something, it's not coming from you, right? It's not coming from you. And if you're coming from a place of low self-esteem and you're just using something else as a reason to not do something, it's almost empty. There's no meat in it, right? There's no roots. It's just saying, I'm not drinking because this religion says not to. Well, that's not really a reason. I mean, that's not the best reason. It was a reason that didn't work for me, I should say. And maybe it was because I didn't fully believe in it as much as I needed to. So maybe if I was fully entrenched in that faith and I wholeheartedly believed every little thing about it and thought, this is what I am, I'm a part of this, maybe I would have stuck with it if I had gotten into the religion in a confident way, right? So I might have gotten into that faith out of low self-esteem as well. And actually I did. So low self-esteem played a role in both of those things. So that's another part of the equation there, was me getting into it. I wholeheartedly wanted to be in it when I was getting into it, but me getting into it was coming from a place of low self-esteem as well. So there were two things going on there. But in the long run, it was that lack of confidence that was really playing a bigger role in it as to why it didn't work. And I do think if you do try to use something to say, well, this says not to do this, therefore I'm not doing it, it's not coming from you. It needs to come from you, right? It needs to come from a place of confidence. Another thing that didn't work was just to tell myself, this is bad, or, you know, drinking has all these negative consequences for all these people. Look at the statistics. That again didn't do it for me. Cause why? Because it's not coming from me. It's not coming from myself from a place of confidence. That's just coming from, oh, look at the statistics. This shows that this is bad. That's the same as looking at it from, this religion says this is bad, I won't do it. These statistics say this is bad, I'm not going to do it. You're looking outside the source, right? So whenever I say what's going on under the tent, what's going on outside the tent, these things are going on outside the tent. If you're having to look outside yourself to find a reason to not do something, it's probably not going to work. So again, I'm going to give an example. So coming from a place of more confidence, I've told you I've been doing confidence building, and that's engaging with your hobbies that make you happy. And I pointed this out yesterday that to somebody, engage with hobbies that actually make you happy. And then somebody said, well, of course, why else would you engage with a hobby? And I said, well, some people engage with hobbies because of the way they make them look, like an image. So like, I'm going to start going skiing because that's what people with money do. And I want to be around people with money. So here's my new hobby. Look at me in all my Instagram photos. Now I can surround myself with all these people, right? That's like a disingenuous reason to start doing something. That's just an image. That's a superficial thing. Or I'm going to start doing this because of the way it'll make me look. That's superficial. That's empty. And, you know, it's a hobby that's not true. And it's a hobby that's in the end not going to make you happy, because your disingenuousness is going to show up and people aren't going to want to vibe with you. They're not going to want to click with you because they're going to be like, what a phony, or they're not actually interested in this, right? It's almost like saying, I want to be around, you know, country clubs and horses, or go to the Kentucky Derby and wear a cute hat or something, because this is where people have money go. But you know nothing about horses, and you know nothing about horse races, and you would never get your feet dirty or your hands dirty and go to the horse stables and feed a horse, and you would never get on a horse and ride a horse. Like, it's, and you know nothing about horses. You know, you're just doing it to look cute and be around people who have a lot of money. You know, that's a false hobby. That's a, you know, it'll show itself in the disingenuousness, and people will pick up on it, and then you'll feel stupid. So do a hobby that makes you happy. And again, I also want to do a hobby out of rage, or I think it can be good to do hobbies that are therapeutic, like I did poetry, but is that a hobby that actually makes you happy? I think that it can really help you. So poetry really helped me for several years, and I got a lot out of it, but was I screaming from the mountaintops, you know, how happy poetry made me? No, there's other things that make me happy. So I've been engaging with those things, and that's the key to confidence building. And so looking at the way I used to try to solve my drinking problem, I never knew it was coming from a place of low self-esteem. Now that I know, it's a huge part of the solution, to where I see it differently. So coming from a place of confidence, I see it as, well, I don't want to do that, because in the long run, that's really going to impact my life. And what a big waste of time that would be. That's how I'm seeing it now, from a place of confidence, is I'm seeing it and I'm doing it out of myself. I'm doing it for my my own good reasons, because, you know, why would a confident person want to do that? Why would a confident person want to hurt themselves or do that to themselves or do that to their reputation or their, you know, why would I want to binge drink and risk everything? You know, I see it very differently than I ever did before, the way to solve this problem. Cause I'm seeing it for the way I used to handle it. I know where the way I used to handle it is coming from. And I never knew it before. I never knew it. I never knew it was coming from low self-esteem. But it makes sense the way I used to handle it, looking for outside sources to solve the problem or for outside sources to tell me what to do, or lead the way. That's not it. Like I have to lead the way. This is my life. You know, so seeing it from a place of confidence, it's like, well, how silly. Like I'm not going to do that. You know, that wouldn't be good for me. That wouldn't be good for my future. I don't need some book to tell me what to do, or, you know, I don't need a book for, you know, like a religion, I should say. I don't need a religion to lead the way in this matter. But if that works for you, that's wonderful. It didn't work for me because I think it was coming from a place of low self-esteem. You know, even the fact that I was in that faith, you know, and again, this is just my example. I got into it out of a place of low self-esteem looking for identity. And then I tried to solve my battle with drinking through that false identity or the false, you know, getting into it for low self-esteem reasons, so to speak. So I just wanted to point this out that I think this might be a reason. It might be a reason. Again, I'm not a counselor. I'm not a doctor. It might be a reason why people with complex PTSD maybe struggle more with long-term substance use. It might be a reason because we're not being told that our solutions that we are trying to use are coming from a place of low self-esteem, because no counselor is going to say that to us. Nobody's going to say it. It's taboo. They're not going to say that to you. And that's not what they're supposed to say anyway. They're, you know, it's not like you're going to get a diagnosis of low self-esteem. That's not going to happen. But I think that that's what it is, you know. And once you start building your confidence, you'll start seeing, well, I don't want to hurt myself or put myself in this situation. That would just be ridiculous. You know, and that's how I see it now. It's very different. I see it very different and I can feel it. I can feel that I'm more confident and it feels great. So I just wanted to point out this very specific thing, because I have definitely tried to solve this problem from places of low self-esteem that I was searching for an answer outside the tent, a superficial thing, and I needed to really grow inside the tent, right? You know, I needed it to come from me, and I just needed to know the answer. So I needed to know that the answer is confidence building from things that make you happy, and to know that my big battle, a huge part of my battle, was low self-esteem. I needed to know that. So anyway, this is the Complex PTSD Guy signing off.